So I know y'all have missed this, right? In RUF, we believe that you're never so bad, that you're beyond the reach of God's grace. And at the same time, you are never so good, that you're beyond the need of God's grace. And so we hope here to be a community, a place you can come each week, wherever you're finding yourself tonight. And hopefully a place that you can rest in the grace of Jesus, and the hope of Jesus, who has not left you, who is not far from you, who meets you in every circumstance of your life. And one of the ways Jesus meets us is through his word. And so that's why each week we study his word. We try to have his word to understand it. We try to have it shape us, shape our lives. So it is the resource that God gives us to know him and to be known by him. That's why we study it. And so this semester, we're starting a new series tonight in the Psalms. And in particular, what I want us to see through the Psalms is how they shape our inner life, how they shape our emotions. An old church father once said, "The whole Bible speaks to us. Every page of Scripture speaks to us. But the Psalms, in particular, speak for us." In other words, they both allow us to feel our emotions and shape our emotions as we direct them towards God. And so that's our hope this semester. So believe it or not, when I was in college, I would work out. Yeah. Yeah. Some. That's not the end of the story. And when I first got to college, I was pretty skinny. And I was weak. And so really I only had one goal in mind. And that was, I just wanted to get bigger, right? So I would just basically spend a majority of my days, not really at the gym, although I did work out some, but mainly just eating. So I would just eat crap. I would eat Taco Bell late at night, like 4 servings of dinner, you know, anything I could to gain weight and hopefully, you know, work out and get bigger, look better, big, stronger, right? But eventually I stopped working out and continued eating, which I'm sure isn't that obvious to all of you. And it wasn't the wisest decision, right? So fast forward 10 years, and I've certainly gotten bigger, right? But it's debatable whether I'm stronger and more in shape. So a couple years ago, I said, okay, I'm going to try to work out and just try to get a little bit in better shape. And that's all I focused on because my schedule and time, I couldn't really focus as much on my diet. But unfortunately, just working out didn't really change anything either. And lo and behold, I may have been a little healthier, but nothing really changed how I looked. That in order to have good change, you need both a healthy diet and exercise. And so in other words, we need to understand both our anatomy and we need to spend time in the gym training and shaping our anatomy. And in a sense, this is what we're trying to do when we study the Psalms. Like, they are both a look at our soul's anatomy. And, like, what is there? How do I really feel? What does it feel like to be angry? To be ashamed? To be guilty? To feel guilt? To feel sadness? To feel hopeless? There's language for that in the Psalms. But also the Psalms are a place for our soul's exercise. Like, they are where we go with our emotions to work on them, to feel them appropriately, and to draw closer to God through them. They both reveal our emotions and give us language for them. They shape our emotions and they place them within the context of our relationship to God. So that's what we're doing this semester. And tonight, we're just going to do a broad stroke, just an overview of how the Psalms help us in feeling our emotions. And so let's read together Psalm 42. And sorry it's so small. I should have done 2 separate columns. But if you have a magnifying glass or anything, you can look at it there. All right, this is God's word, Psalm 42. As a deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God.
When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they say to me all the day long, where is your God? These things I remember, and I pour out my soul, how I would go with throng and lead them in procession to the house of God with glad shouts and songs of praise, a multitude keeping festival. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. My soul is cast down within me. Therefore, I remember you from the land of Jordan and of Hermon, from Mount Mizar. Deep calls to deep at the roar of your waterfalls. All your breakers and your waves have gone over me. By day, the Lord commands his steadfast love, and at night, his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a deadly wound in my bones, my adversaries taunt me, while they say to me all the day long, where is your God? Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. Let me pray for us, and then we'll dive in. Dear God, we cry out to you in many ways. Some of us here tonight are crying out to you in really hard ways, wanting answers, or doubting, or hurting, feeling alone. Others are crying out to you for friends and for family. And God, we want to hope in you. We ask that you meet us here, and that you guide our time, and that you shape us through your word. It's in Christ's name. Amen. So when it comes to emotions, there's typically two ways of responding to them that I often see. And the first way is to deny them or ignore them. When I was in St. Louis, I would listen to the sports radio. And one day, the play-by-play announcer for the St. Louis Cardinals was being interviewed. And he said this on the radio. He said, I may go to the booth and have a terrible day, but there are people out there that have only a couple things in their life that are currently brightening their day, baseball being one of them. Part of doing my job is putting aside what I'm feeling and just be positive. And sometimes I think we get this idea in religious circles. Like, this may be one of the ways you've encountered emotions in religious groups. That if Jesus is the answer, we say, then our job is to make sure people know that we're unaffected by all those negative emotions. Like, we must stay positive. So if you're depressed or anxious, it's actually because you don't have enough faith. Maybe some of you are struggling now and are beating yourself up with how you feel because you think you should feel happy or joyful as a Christian. Or maybe you've encountered groups or family that shame you for feeling emotions. Like you hear things like, stop being so emotional, right? Or if you would just look at it this way, you know, you wouldn't feel that. They try to fix you. Or maybe you think, you know, if I really want to help people, if I want to do ministry, or if I want to be a good friend, or if I want to be a good Christian, I need to set aside those negative aspects of my inner life and be for others what they need me to be right now. So that's one common way I think people, especially religious people, have dealt with emotions. But the other way is to be consumed by them. That may be the response that that comes from a place of having to hide emotions, that you're just done with it, you know? And so you're going to express yourself however it is you feel. Like, let your emotions guide you. Just let them out. It's the mantra of Elsa in Frozen. So, don't let them in. Don't let them see. Be the good girl you always have to be, right? Conceal. Don't feel. Don't let them know. Well, now they know, right? What is it? Let it go. It can't hold back anymore. You can't hold back anymore. Don't hold back. Just let it go. Let whatever you feel be expressed. Do what is within you. So if you feel resentful, or you feel angry at a person that disagrees with you, don't be with them, right? Cut them off. That's the heart of cancel culture. That's what we see on social media all the time, right? People just fighting. Or if you feel discontent with that significant other, find someone else, right? They're not meeting how you feel. You should be with whoever you feel is best for you. This is the American dream of living a life of whatever you want to be. Like, you feel discontent or upset in your major right now? Well, just do something else. You don't feel good. Pursue whatever you feel will satisfy you. And guys, both of these ways of looking at and dealing with emotions are not how the Bible shows us to respond to our emotional life. So let's see how Psalm 42, because I think Psalm 42 helps guide us through a person who is understanding and trying to understand and grasp how to deal with his emotions. So number one, this psalm, it teaches us to investigate them. Investigate your emotions. Notice all the descriptions that this psalm gives for the inner life of this person. His soul is thirsty. Like, he names that he feels dry. He needs to be quenched at first. My soul is thirsty. He says in verse 3, my tears have been my food day and night. He names it, meaning that anytime he opens his mouth, the picture of tears just streaming down into his mouth, filling him 24/7, is weeping. Like, that's a lot of tears. Going to verse 7, he talks about the roar of waterfalls and how they are crashing over him. Like, have you ever been in a strong current and tossed by the waves and water as it just crashes onto you? This is how he says his soul feels. Like, he can't move. Like, he can't even go anywhere because of the force that's upon him. Verse 9, he is mourning because of the oppression he faces of other people. They're like deadly wounds in his bones. He's taunted by people. His soul is cast down within him. And overall, this is a picture of a person who's actually allowing himself to feel it. He's like looking at it. He notices it. He's feeling it. He is naming some very real things that he's experiencing. In other words, he is investigating what his soul is actually experiencing. He's exploring the ways his inner life is in turmoil, and he's naming them. He's feeling them as he writes this. We can feel it. This is a person who's very in touch with what's going on in his inner life. He's certainly not hiding it or ignoring it or writing it off. He's feeling the pain. He's articulating it in a very powerful and beautiful way through this poetry, which is what it is. Now, here's the thing. In order to investigate your emotions, what I'm really saying is you have to recognize and feel what is actually there, which of course is easier said than done, right? And why is that? Because from my own experience, investigating my own emotions and really feeling them, it is incredibly painful. Like, it hurts. Because there's a lot of painful emotions in there. And if I had to guess, there's a lot of you who don't want to feel what's really in there. I can remember growing up, I played baseball. I played Little League. And one thing I was terrible at doing was what you have to do, which is hit the ball. I don't think I ever got one hit. And part of that was because I was afraid of the ball. It was, as it was coming at me, I didn't want to get hurt. So when the ball would come, I would tense up and sort of close my eyes. And then I would just inevitably swing and miss. So when the ball would come, or I can remember being that guy one moment at the end of the game. And we had men on base and we're losing. And I was up to hit the ball. And so going to the plate, mustering up my courage, I swing, miss, swing, miss, swing, miss, and the game's over. And I look up at my coach and I look at my teammates and just see the disappointment on their faces. And then suddenly the shame and just the embarrassment. You know that feeling? Just creeps up inside me. And all I could think of wanting to do was just going home, curling up in the ball, and just crying, which is exactly what I did when I got home. And I can remember telling myself, I don't ever want to feel this again. And so I didn't play baseball again because I didn't want to feel embarrassed. And I didn't want to deal with the sadness of dealing with it. So I did whatever I could to avoid it. And I wonder how many of y'all have had similar experiences in your life. Like where you felt something and didn't have people that allowed you to feel it and cared for you in it. So emotions became dangerous, especially those painful ones. And so today you look for any ways to ignore investigating those emotions so you don't have to feel them. Because you said that same thing I said, which is, I never want to feel this again. It's why some of you have avoided potentially going to counseling, which I actually encourage to everybody. Because you don't want to have to deal with and investigate what you feel like is probably there. It's why you numb. Like, I think there's a reason why alcohol is so prevalent on a college campus. And it's because of this. Because it is way easier to not feel the unpleasant emotions. Are you socially awkward? Well, it's way easier to get a little bit of liquid courage, right? Or relationships aren't going well. It's way easier to just cut loose. Are you lonely and depressed? Way easier. Or it's why a lot of you look at porn or pursue sexual gratification. It feels good than having to deal with some of the stuff you feel, some of the stuff you're going through. Or maybe you've overeat, or maybe you don't eat at all. Or maybe you binge hours on Netflix or hours on social media. And the question I have for you is, how does it feel? Like, how does that feel? Does that really satisfy? What if the answer to getting over some of your addiction or some of that loneliness you feel and depression is actually not to numb, but to investigate how you actually feel with it? I think this psalm challenges us to look at that and to do that. Or maybe instead of numbing, you ignore one emotion only for it to come out later in a different way. Like, it's like that scene in The Office. I don't know if you've seen this episode where Michael doesn't get invited to the camping trip that Toby got invited to. And so he just kind of walks around and mopes and like slams the fridge. And then Toby's like being interviewed and Michael's like knocking on the window. And he's like, nobody cares. Nobody cares, Toby. This is Michael ignoring the sadness he feels. And loneliness and shame for not getting invited. And instead he becomes resentful and angry and tries to downplay it by insulting Toby. Like, this is the way of dealing with emotions, by passive aggressively saying, I'm fine, when somebody asks you how you really are. Right? Or getting angry at somebody for something that someone else did a long time ago. However, the psalm invites you to really investigate what you're feeling. What you're feeling. To actually feel it and name it. But the psalmist doesn't stop there, because he also questions his emotions. This psalm teaches us to inquire. I really did as hard a job I could as that alliteration right there, all the I's. But inquire our emotions. Look at all the questions throughout this psalm. When shall I come before God? Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you in turmoil within me? Repeats that. Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? Who is he questioning? He's questioning himself. Like, he's asking his soul questions related to his emotions. Now, why does he do this? Because it shows that he's not just feeling his emotions. That is certainly true. He's naming them. He's allowing himself to feel them. But he's sort of looking at how he feels and questioning them, because he knows that you can't just trust how you feel in a certain moment. Why is this? Because we are human beings, meaning we are finite, we get things wrong, and our emotions are always mixed with our fallenness. They are. They're always tainted with aspects of sin, of ways we don't view things right, of ways that we hurt and are hurt. For instance, about a month before Val and I got married, I had a ring and I was prepared to pop the question. And she and I laugh all the time about this conversation we had, because we had a lunch about a month before and Val felt I had just not planned anything. And so she was upset, I'll say. She was feeling discouraged. She was anxious. She was eager to get engaged, but really doubting whether I had really planned anything. And she said, "Davis, I feel like you need to plan, and I don't think you realize what you need to do." Little did she know. Got her. But in that moment, Val was worried and anxious because she didn't know entirely what I had already planned. She was finite. She was limited in what she saw, in her perspective. She was also wrong in how she viewed me, a little bit. I kind of fly by the seat of my pants a lot. So there, that was kind of valid. But in this instance, I wasn't, right? Her feelings caused her to sense, kind of get angry and impatient. Like, her fallenness caused her to doubt aspects of who I was and what was actually going on. And as you go through feeling your emotions, also do as the psalm does here. Question them. Like, critique them. Inquire of them. Don't ignore them, but question them. Like, some of you go through life with just this constant sense of shame and guilt. Like, I'm wrong. I'm unworthy. I'm an idiot. I'm unlovable. And when you feel those things, I want you to name them. I want you to investigate them. But I also want you to question them. Why are you cast down? Like, could it be that some of what you feel about yourself is actually not Jesus, but rather people and circumstances that have caused you to view a certain view of yourself as utterly hopeless? Like, maybe it's a parent that you felt never you lived up to their expectations. Like, maybe it's from a breakup with a significant other, and now you feel so unworthy of love. Maybe it's something you did in the past that you have never been able to get over or forgive yourself. And now you are walking around with this intense feeling of unworthiness. Why are you cast down? Why are you cast down? Or on the other end of that, there are all kinds of things that feel good that you should question. Like, we live in a world where every single good feeling you have, it said, should be affirmed and should be accepted. Like, whether it's sexuality or how you spend your time or your money, that's yours. Do with it how you feel. If it feels good, then it must be okay. But again, understand that you are finite. You are fallible. You get things wrong. And you're fallen. And this psalm points us to not just feel our emotions, but to also allow ourselves to question them. This isn't something you have to do alone, by the way. Like, it's one of the reasons we greatly believe in the value of community here. The value of being with each other in RUF. You need to walk with others as you feel these things and allow them to be able to question with you. You need to be real with people. Let them question with you. Again, it's why I believe counseling should be important. And I'm happy to talk more with any of you if that's something you feel you need right now. It's also such an important reason for the church. Like, the church should be a place that allows you to feel and provides you with a trusted family that helps you question it and point you to truth. Because finally, the psalmist, he investigates his emotions. He inquires of his emotions, but he also seeks to integrate his emotions. They aren't just the end of him. They aren't just all of him. And he integrates his emotions with truth. In other words, where does he eventually point his emotions? This is where our emotional life intersects with our faith. Because if you'll notice, the psalm He feels his emotions, he questions it, and then he redirects it over and over again to God. Like, we often feel our emotions and we direct them back to ourselves. Like, we either wallow in self-pity or we're constantly just navel-gazing. Like, how do I feel? How do I feel? How do I feel? Right? Or we continue to hide them, knowing it's there and not wanting anyone to see. Or we direct them at others. Like, we get angry or resentful or treat others differently, turn against each other with our emotions. But notice that this psalm, he does neither. Notice that this psalm, after he questions, he immediately uses his emotions to integrate them towards the life with God. Why are you cast down on my soul? Hope in God. Thirst for God. Where is your God? These things I remember as I pour out my soul. I remember you, God, my rock. You have a picture here of a person who's not just settling with just feeling, but letting the emotion drive him towards the person who can handle it. Over and over and over again, emotions are a resource for you to go to God with them. So as I close, there's this great scene in the movie Inside Out. Has everybody seen Inside Out here? Okay, maybe we should have an Inside Out night just for this series. Side note, like, if we're doing this series, get ready for a lot of Inside Out illustrations, okay? So the movie about the inner world of this little girl, and it has all these personified versions of her emotions like joy and sadness. And in this scene, her imaginary friend, Bing Bong, has just had this toy rocket that he loved taken away from him and destroyed forever. And he's obviously distraught, so Joy comes up to him to try and cheer him up. Joy, the Amy Poehler Parks and Rec personality, right? She comes to cheer him up. She tries to tickle him. She makes funny faces. She tries to distract him by pointing out other fun things. And none of it works. He just sits there. And then sadness comes over and starts talking to him. And all she says, "I'm sorry they took your rocket. They took something that you loved forever." And Joy is like, "Sadness, what are you doing? You were going to make him feel worse." And sadness just continues. She says, "It's sad, isn't it?" And then suddenly Bing Bong just turns to her and holds her and just starts crying. And they hug. And then after he looks up and he says, "Okay, I think I'm okay now." And when it comes to our emotions, what if this is actually the picture God has for us? One author I was reading about this says, we assume God wants order, conformity, obedient children. Instead, we find that he wants our passionate involvement and utter awe in the mystery of his glorious character. And what if integrating all of ourselves, including our emotional life, is the way that God continues to show us the mystery of his glorious character? The character of a God who didn't sit far off, but a God who actually became a man and experienced every bit of the emotions that you have fully, perfectly, in a way that it was intended, that relates to you, that time after time in Scripture, there is the prepositional phrase, "with us." God with us, Emmanuel. We say that name often at Christmas time for Jesus, but it means God with us. And when it comes to feeling our emotions, let them lead you to a God who is with you and feels with you and longs for you to experience his presence. He gives you the freedom to investigate every emotion you have, which we will investigate more of them in the coming weeks. He gives you the resources to question them, to think about them. And then he gives you the opportunity to take them, not just onto yourself, not just at your friends, but actually take them to him and integrate all of them with his love and faithfulness. Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you that you are the creator God, that you made us in a certain way, and that our emotions are actually part of that. And so I pray that this semester we would learn more and more about what it means to be your child, what it means to be faithful as your child, and to walk towards you with all of ourselves. I ask that you will meet us here and that you will guide us in our time. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.